just him being there. It's the relationship factor. That's what he's looking for. You need to touch my heart. You need to be with me. You need to seek my face. That's why he added that in this scripture. When you pray to God, you're to invite his presence into your life.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is We Are God's People and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
We are God's people. Not everybody is God's people. Everybody was made by God. All people are made by God. But not everybody is God's people. To be one of God's people is a privilege. It's an honor. It's a wonderful divine thing to be called a Christian and really be one. When people call you a Christian, do you believe them? When people call you a Christian, do you believe them? Do you believe them when they call you a Christian? If you don't, you better check yourself. Because to be one of God's people means to walk like one of God's people. It means to step away from the world and say, you know what? I don't want anything to do with this place anymore. I want to see what the kingdom of God has to offer me. There's a better world out there that God has waiting for his people. Understand that once we are adopted into the family of God, we are his people. Our key verse is going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Can we all please stand one last time in reverence to God's holy word? If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Heavenly Father, we come to you, O God, and we pray that you will open our hearts to receive and to carry your word forward, God. In the name of Jesus, we give thanks. Amen. You may be seated. Let's go through this verse. Because the moment we are saved, we are made citizens in God's kingdom. We are his people, and as such, we must behave like one of his. Anybody in here know how to behave? If you don't, you need to read the manual on how to behave. Because this book will tell you how to behave in God's kingdom. Because make no mistake, liars, cowards, murderers, and the such, they're not getting into the kingdom. Okay, so listen. Those people aren't going to inherit the kingdom of God. So let's go through this verse. Point number one, and I got a lot of cover today, so forgive me if I go a little quick. But first point is, we are his. As God's people, we don't belong to ourselves. Okay? Listen what it says in the very first part. It says, if my people who are called by my name. Get it? My people. We are his. We don't belong to the world. We don't belong to our mommies and our daddies anymore. They gave us birth. They gave us conception, amen? But we don't belong to them anymore. We belong to the Heavenly Father. He's the one that now takes care of us. Okay? So this is a principle that you got to remember, that you belong to a holy God. So when people start trashing your name, When people start talking evil about you, guess what? You got your daddy behind you. Your heavenly father is holy. What does that make you when you have a holy father? It makes you holy. Holy means to be set apart. Holy means to be set apart. You're set apart from the world. You're set apart from the way things work out there. You don't have to conform to those things or be pressured by them anymore. When people at work are cutting up, you don't have to join in with them anymore. You have a heavenly father that sets you apart. When people are backstabbing you, you don't have to worry about it anymore. You know who your daddy is. He makes you holy. He makes you set apart. He makes you perfect in Christ. You are his. You belong to a holy God, and you need to behave like it. When you see a celebrity in the news and their kids are in trouble, you go, tisk, tisk, tisk. Their father or mother is such a good actress or actor, but why can't their kids behave? You see, we don't want to shun our father by our behavior. We don't want to call ourselves Christians and then try to give God a black eye by the way we act. Amen? The word Christian means Christ-like. Ask yourself right now, am I Christ-like? Would somebody mistake me for Christ? They should. When people see you walk into a room, they should feel the holy presence of God coming in with you. Anyone who places their faith in Jesus belongs to him and are his people. Christians no longer belong to the world, but rather to the one and only holy God of all. We are a people set apart. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, chosen by God. Imagine that for a minute. Christians have been handpicked by God himself. You didn't pick God. You didn't want anything to do with him till he come knocking on your heart. You were chosen by God. You were picked by God. What an honor to have the Lord come to you and say, be one of mine. What an honor. God could have picked anybody, but he picked us. Then he goes on to say, a royal priesthood. Do you not understand that we are in royalty? God is a king. He is the king. And if we're his children, what does that make us? Heirs. And if we're heirs to the throne, that makes us royal. We're a holy nation of people. We don't have a country of our own. We have a nation, a kingdom, the kingdom of God. It's not here yet, is it? Otherwise, you wouldn't see murder and theft and hate, would you? But God's coming. And he's bringing the kingdom with him. And when he does, the chosen people are going to take their place in that kingdom. Everybody's going to have a post to stand at in his kingdom. A duty, a job, a responsibility. His own special people, it says. Special. Everybody say, I'm special in the eyes of God. I don't care what people say about me. I don't care what people think about me. I know what God feels about me. And God says, I'm special. Say, I'm special. I'm special in the eyes of God. Say it. Don't ever forget that. God is the only person that you need to impress. His own special people. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Marvelous light. Listen to this. God has called you out of the darkness, the pit that you were in, that pit of darkness where you saw nothing but despair. And God called you out and he said, listen, I am the marvelous light that you've been seeking your whole life. I am the one thing you've been missing. And now I've called you out. And when you see that marvelous light, when you feel that marvelous presence of the Lord, you want to praise him. Your heart is filled with praise. Your lips speak it. Second of all, we must humble ourselves in order to be lifted up. Anybody want to be lifted up by God? You better lower yourself right now because you ain't all that. Praise God. You ain't all that. God is bigger, God is better, God is perfect, and we are not. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, our key verse says, will humble themselves. People are so full of pride. I don't need God. I could do it all on my own. Well, where did it get you so far? Where did your pride get you so far? We should not be filled with pride because we are God's chosen. See, that shouldn't fill you with pride. But rather, his choosing us should humble us as we gaze upon his glory. Once God has chosen you and your eyes are opened up, you should be humbled by that thing. And wow, now I see the light. Now I see how perfect you are and how insignificant I am. And you still love me regardless. See, that's the thing about grace, is that we don't deserve it. We deserve hell. But the grace of God is bigger than our sins. And that should humble any person who realizes that. And if you're not humbled by that, I beg to argue you're a Christian. Because a Christian knows that they are to humble themselves in front of God. A Christian knows who they're dealing with when they speak the word of God. A Christian knows you are not to take the words of God in vain. A Christian knows you are not to commit the sin of taking the Lord's name in vain. But rather, you should humble yourself in front of him. Matthew 23:12. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. You try to lift yourself up and you will see yourself fall. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. Because what God is saying is you can get a state in your heart. You can get a hardness in your heart of pride that says, I don't need God. I don't have to love God. He can't tell me how to live. But there's a day coming for those people that God will humble them. Because when they see the living God before them, they shall drop to their knees, but it will be too late. Let's pray that that doesn't happen to anybody that we know. Let's pray that it doesn't have to happen to anybody, but it's going to. It already has. And it will again until the day that God's kingdom is set up. Proverbs 16:8, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Listen to that. Pride goes before destruction. You think you're all big, you think you're all bad, but guess what? Destruction is heading towards your house. Pride blinds a person, makes them think that they're bigger and better and badder than anybody out there. They don't realize that there's always something bigger and badder than them. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You ever see a fool playing in traffic? You can almost see it coming, can't you? That's pride. Not going to happen to me. It always happens to some other poor schmuck. Third, we must pray. Again, our key verse mentions, and pray. God wants you to pray. Why don't we pray? Why don't we pray? It's because we don't believe? God never answers my prayers. Or is it because we're too proudful? I've already got this under control. I can handle this. What do I need to pray for? I already got it figured out in my head. To live the Christian life, we must pray. God never allows us to do his will without his help. We must pray in order to receive it. Listen, you might know what God wants you to do. You might have a little tuggle on your heart today even. And you know what God is telling you. But you don't know how to do it. You don't have the strength to do it. You don't have the means to do it. But you haven't even prayed about doing it. You haven't got on your knees and said, Lord, I know what you want me to do. Help me, God. Help me do it. Give me the things that I need, oh Lord, to accomplish your will. You need to ask for that help. You need to humble yourself in order to ask. If you fill yourself up with pride, you're going to try to do the will of God on your own strength, and you are going to fall. You know, you can't even come to church without prayer. Because, listen, the devil will tell you, you need to sleep in a day. The devil can mess with you if you're not praying. He'll keep you out of church. He'll tell you you don't need that church. He'll say bad things about your pastor. He'll say bad things about your pastor's wife. He'll say bad things about the people sitting in the pews with you to keep you out of church. Man, you should not come to church because of me. You should not come because of my wife. You should come for Jesus. You should be coming here to reach God through Jesus Christ. That should be your motivation. Your motivation to come to church is to bless other people. God wants to use you when you're at church. God wants to fill you with his holy word, to bring it out there into the world, to bring more people into here to do the same. Your motivation should be Jesus Christ to come to church. Praise God. Often we rely on our own strength only to tire and become weary. But when we pray, God steps in and carries our load if we give surrender to him. So you got to surrender yourself in prayer. Now, I hear a lot, well, Pastor, I don't want to pray for God's will. I'm afraid he might do something I don't like. God might do some things in your life that you don't like. He might take you out of your comfort zone. But when he's done doing that, you will be thanking him because you will have grown spiritually. You've heard the saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right? God likes to bring you through things in order to strengthen you. Amen? And believe me, if you don't ask God for help, you're going to try to do it on your own, and you're going to be in bigger trouble than if you would have asked him. Because you would have done it your way, and you would have totally messed up things. So let's look at how we are to pray. I know you've all heard this prayer before, but let's go through it so that we can learn how to pray today, because prayer is important. If you haven't been praying, you better start. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. This is Jesus teaching the disciples how to pray. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. First of all, we have to address God as our spiritual father. Now listen to me. We don't recite this prayer word for word to God. That's ridiculous. Do you talk to your friends like that? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We don't talk like that, do we? No, we come to God on an intimate, loving, close relationship level. Father, Daddy, Papa, whatever your word for dad is. Our Father. Now, where is he? Is he here? Well, yeah, but where else is he? He's in the throne. He's on the throne of heaven, isn't he? Acknowledge where he is. When you're praying, realize who you're talking to and where he's at. He's in heaven. He sees everything that's going on. He's got a bird's eye view plus. Acknowledge when you're praying. Open your heart and say, I'm not just talking to anybody. I'm talking to my Father who sits in heaven. And then you say, hallowed be your name. Holy. We're talking to the God of all. He's holy. So when you come to him, you better show some respect. You better show some reverence. Because Jesus said this is how you start your prayer. By knowing who you're talking to. Because if you come to God on chalant, hey, I need this. And if you don't give it to me, I'm going to just do it my way. You don't talk to God like that. You don't get anything from people when you talk to him like that, do you? You don't want to get what God can give you if you talk to him like that. You better respect God. And then you say to the Lord, it goes on, your kingdom come. See, you don't pray for your own kingdom. Lord, I need a new car and a house to go with it. And a boom, boom stereo to blast out the neighbors. Because my kingdom's coming. Man, people pray like that all the time. My kingdom, God. I need a kingdom on earth. No, you say your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why do we got to pray for God's will? Somebody always told me, people always tell me this. Well, it must have been God's will because it happened. That's the foolish thing to say. God's will is not being done on earth. If it was being done on earth, there'd be no murder. There'd be no diseases. There'd be no hate. Right? So we're to pray for that will. But you know what? When we pray for God's will, we need to be asking him to carry it out. What's our part in his will? What does God want us to do? So we are to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, in heaven, everything's in order. The angels listen. And the ones who didn't, what happened to them? They got cast out, didn't they? You think that when God comes back and there are disobedient people to his word, not living the way he's told us to live, do you think any of them's getting into his kingdom? That would be foolish, because we'd have the same stuff going on in heaven as we have here. And I don't like what's going on around here. I don't like mean people. Do you like mean people? Do you like people stealing from you? Do you like people talking bad about you? Do you like people cussing you, murdering your friends and your family and your loved ones and people in the news and bombings? Do you like that? God hates it even more than you do, believe it or not. And he ain't putting up with it. We're under grace right now. So we need to be praying that his will be done. Then in 11, it says, give us this day our daily bread. See, we're not supposed to be coming to God and saying, I want to win the lottery. That's gambling anyways. We're not supposed to say, just give me all the money I need. No, we're to say our daily bread. That means I trust you, God, on a daily basis to bring me what I need. That means I don't have to see it in the bank account. I know it's coming because you always take care of me. You're not going to let me starve. Now listen, verse 12 says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Ah, see, now listen, there's a condition on that, isn't there? How can you ask God to forgive you if you haven't forgiven other people? Shame on you for asking for something you're not given, right? If you're going to be stingy with your forgiveness, God's going to be stingy with his forgiveness. So it says forgive, right? What does it say? And forgive us our debts as, right, the same way that we forgive our debtors. So if you're not forgiving your debtors, if you're holding grudges, then that's the kind of forgiveness you're going to get back. See how it works? You can't come to God asking for things you're not given. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So you better get your heart straight and start forgiving some people. If you want mercy from God, you better give some mercy. Because I know one thing, I'm not a perfect person. And I know I need forgiveness. But I know that even when my enemies don't forgive me, my Father will, as long as I have forgiveness in my heart. Now 13, and do not lead us into temptation. That word temptation means testing, not to be confused with tempting somebody with peanut butter cups or something like that, or chocolate milk. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now listen to me. You don't want to go through a test with God. You can pray your way out of a test through obedience and prayer. Let me explain this to you. God will tell you something through one of his anointed. He will warn you. Stop doing something or start doing something. He will direct you. You don't listen, a test is coming to teach you the principle of what he's trying to warn you about not doing. You wouldn't listen to my people. So now here comes the test. So you're to pray, God, don't test me. Oh, God, don't test me. It says right here, and do not lead us into temptation or testing. Who wants to be tested by God? Raise your hand. I didn't think any of you wanted to be. The ones who are yelling, they've been there. And you can't get out of it when you want to get out of it. He'll hold you there. So pray. And then it says, but deliver us from the evil one, Satan. Satan wants to have you. And sometimes he gets a hold of you, doesn't he? Walks right into your life and messes with you. Messes with you. Takes things from you. Accuses you. You know, Satan is the accuser, right? That's what his name means. Satan means accuser. Ever have anybody that falsely accuses you? The devil's talking through them. That's Satan. God doesn't do it. God doesn't accuse people. That's Satan. His name means accuser. When you hear a mouth running and it's accusations that are false, it's Satan. He's a liar. He's a thief and a murderer. And there's a place in hell for him. And the people who listen to him are going there too. And I pray every day that God will bring those people that are on their way to hell into this church. Because we're not a church of the unsaved. We're a church of the saved, right? And so we want to bring people in to get them saved. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. See, God has got a kingdom coming and it's lasting forever. His kingdom is already in heaven. And he's going to set it down here with us. Forever. Something that's not going to go away. The stuff you got right now is temporal. I don't care what it is. People, things, houses, cars, money, jobs. It's temporal. But God's got something for us that is going to last forever and ever. Fourth, we must seek him. Listen, this is what prayer is all about. And seek my face. Listen. Everybody in here has friends, right? How does it feel when your friend calls you up and asks things from you and never seeks your company? How does that make you feel? They don't want to be your friend. They just want to borrow stuff from you. How does that make you feel? Unimportant? Used? Uncared for? No relationship? They're using you, right? Well, God says that when you pray, you're to seek his face. Even if God says no to what you're asking for, his presence, as you're praying to him, should be enough. Just him being there. It's the relationship factor. That's what he's looking for. You need to touch my heart. You need to be with me. You need to seek my face. That's why he added that in this scripture. And seek my face. When you pray to God, you're to invite his presence into your life for fellowship, to spend time with him. In a relationship manner, not this robotic religion that people are teaching today that you pray and you get whatever you want. That's ridiculous. I don't have any friends like that. I got friends with lots of money and they don't give me everything I want. But they're still my friends. We shouldn't treat God like he's a genie and seek my face. Our prayers should be aimed at fellowship with God and not for our own selfish desires. Prayer is for seeking his presence and his will. Psalms 25, verses 4 and 5 says this. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Look at that verse. You got to ask God to show me. Show me your ways. How would you do this, God? How would you behave in this manner? Show me. You've seen the bumper stickers. What would Jesus do? Well, pray about it. He might tell you, right? Teach me your paths. You have to learn the path to take with God. Here it is. Here's your text, your manual. Lead me in your truth. See, God is truth. Anything out of God's word is a lie. But see, we're to ask God to lead us in his truth and teach me, it says. Lead me in your truth. And teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. If you're waiting for other people to make your life better, you're a fool. Because there is no one and nothing but God that can do that for you. Only God can fix what's wrong with you, with me, with us. Quit putting your faith in other people. Quit trying to impress other people. It doesn't work that way. Because salvation comes from God through Jesus Christ. Your neighbors, your friends, your family, they can't save you. They can't save you. They might try to direct you and help you. They might even lead you into some trouble. Some people have people that lead them into trouble. But listen to me. You are to recognize God as your salvation, and you are to wait on him. And this psalmist says, on you I wait all the day. This means that you are to be in prayer with him all day long. You are to be thinking about God all day long. And if you think that that is boring, if you think that that is no fun, then you are not in fellowship with God, because he is my best friend. He is my closest companion. He is the one that delivers me. Amen. Number five, we must repent. Again, our key verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. And turn from their wicked ways. Stop it. Quit. If there's stuff coming out of your mouth that shouldn't come out of your mouth, quit doing it. If you're talking bad about people, stop. Because you will reap what you sow. You talk bad about somebody, the Lord's going to send somebody in your life that does the same thing you do to others. And they're going to get you right back. It happens every time. Stop stealing if you're a thief, because you're going to get your stuff stolen. Stop lying about people, or you're going to get lied about. God is someone you don't want to mess with. He's not a fool. And turn from their wicked ways. Repentance alone does not save us. You can't be a good person and get into heaven. Doesn't work that way. However, it is an indication that someone is saved. Get it? Because listen, when you want to be forgiven and when you have faith that God will do it, the natural reaction is, I'm going to stop doing what it is that got me into trouble with God. I want to be with God. To be with God, you got to repent. So repentance alone does not save us. However, it is an indication that someone is saved. All Christians are called to live a holy life, not just pastors. All of us, from deacon to worship leader to the people in the pews, anybody that sees you walk out of here and they see you living a lifestyle of sin, they're going to question whether or not you're a real Christian. The saving power of God is evident in the saved person and shines forth like a light unto the world. A person who's been saved by God is appreciative. A person who is saved by God is thankful. And they want to shine that light on other people. They want to say, look what I got. I want to give it to you too. Listen, you get a brand new car or brand new anything, you're going to call your friends up and tell them about it, aren't you? Because you're excited about it. Because you believe that you got yourself something nice. If you really believe you're saved by Jesus, the first thing you're going to do is call all your friends up and say, let me tell you how you can be saved. Because you believe it. And because you believe it, it's going to come out of your mouth. So ask yourself this morning, what are the things coming out of my mouth when I'm not at church? Because the things that are coming out of a person's mouth is the things that are coming out of their heart. Out of the mouth comes the overflow of the heart, the Bible says. Whatever's in your heart is going to flow out of your mouth. Number six, I believe this is my last point. When we behave like his children, we will be blessed like his children. See, you ever walk around and wonder why you're not getting the things other Christians are getting? Maybe you're not behaving like you should be. I don't know. I'm not saying you're not. This is something you need to ask yourselves. I don't want to judge anybody. But listen, our verse continues in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Then I will hear from heaven. Then, after all of those other conditions are met, right? Then he's going to hear you. And will forgive their sins and heal their land. You want something from God? You got to apply the principles he mentioned earlier. Only a fool, say only a fool, would reward a disobedient child. A fool. We're children of God. We disobey. Should we get what we want anyways? What happens when you give a child whatever he wants and he disobeys you? What happens to that child? They get spoiled, don't they? And they start not to listen even more, don't they? Because they think, well, there's no consequences. I'll just do whatever I want to whoever I want. God doesn't raise children like that. God is no fool and will not reward disobedience. He won't do it. No matter how much you beg, no matter how much you cry, no matter how much you plead, he is not going to reward you for your disobedience. However, when we apply the principles of this verse to our lives, we will see the blessings of God. He wants to bless you. Listen, God's not looking down from heaven trying to zap anybody. Now, why does God want obedience? Is it because he wants to control us? No, but because the things that he tells us not to do are actually either bad for us or bad for other people. See, it's not fair that you can go around doing whatever you like and hurt other people on your way. That's not fair. I don't like people running all over me. Do you like it? No. You need to treat people the way you want to be treated. And don't use a double standard. Don't say, I can cuss people, but they better not cuss me. I can lie about people, but they better not lie about me. I can gossip all I want, but they better not gossip about me. Man, you shouldn't repeat gossip even if it's the truth. You shouldn't even repeat something that somebody tells you about another person. Did you know that you can repeat something? You can repeat something that somebody told you that's a complete lie and say, you know what so-and-so said about such and such, and I know it's a lie. And the person you're repeating it to says, is it a lie? I wonder why they said it. You see how that works? We got to be really, really careful how we deal with other people. We need to respect one another. We need to uphold one another with love and respect. We need to speak to one another in gentleness, even when we're not being spoken to in gentleness. Conclusion, Christians are God's people. Christians. People who are Christ-like, people who are saved by grace, people who acknowledge him as Lord and Savior are God's people. As God's people, we must behave like citizens of his kingdom and not of this world. We can't turn on the television and watch some of these vulgar shows and think that it's okay to act like that. There's some horrible shows on TV. We don't need to act like that. We got a heavenly Father and we're going for an eternal reward. The things that we have coming are going to last forever and ever. We don't have to act like a bunch of heathens. We don't have to act like we're a bunch of animals. We have self-control, don't we? We need to use that self-control. You know, pride is a funny thing. We talked about it earlier. Pride can get you into so much trouble. Somebody can say something and you might take it wrong and your pride comes out. And you get so angry because you think somebody's attacking you. So what if they got something bad to say about you? Why are you so worried about impressing other people? I don't care what people think about me. I know what God thinks about me. So stop worrying about what other people think about you. They can't do anything to you as long as you're under the grace of God. Do you know that? People can say what they want. They can try to do what they want. But as long as you got the grace of God and you're living obedient in his word, they can't touch you. And last, I want to say, when we obey his word, we are rewarded. When we disobey, we are reminded that he is in charge and that we must humble ourselves or be humbled by him.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.